This is The Pulse, stories at the heart of health, science, and innovation. I'm Maiken Scott. In the past year, several transgender-specific health clinics have opened across the country, including the first trans VA center in Cleveland, Ohio. General medical practices are also trying to meet the needs of these patients better, and there's a learning curve for everybody in the office. Most physicians get some training in medical school on how to talk to and about transgender patients, but what about the staff on the front line, the receptionists, the nurses, or medical assistants? Paige Flager reports.
Okay. So these are the things we're going to talk about today, just to give you sort of an overview.
Katie Margot is standing in the front of a conference room, getting ready to give a lecture. She's an associate professor of family medicine at the University of Pennsylvania, but she's not teaching med students today. Her audience is the non-physician staff of her medical practice. They're mostly women wearing jewel-toned scrubs, and just like students in lecture halls, they all sit towards the back. Margot is starting them off with the basics, vocabulary.
Sexual orientation, I imagine you guys know what sexual orientation is. It's a little more complicated than you might have thought about before.
She's breaking these things down because her practice at Penn Family Care is marketing itself as an LGBT-friendly health center. Today, she's talking specifically about how to take care of transgender patients.
Sometimes you're going to call somebody's name that says Fred so-and-so, and up will pop a woman. And it's confusing to you. Has anybody had that happen?
Some of the staff nod.
Yeah. So what do you do?
She invited along one of her patients, Junior Brainerd, a transgender man, and his partner, Tina Montgomery, a transgender woman. Montgomery chimes in, suggesting that instead of using first names, the staff should just say the first initial and the last name of the patient.
And then when they stand up, it's not good to call them out in front of everyone to say, you are Fred Jones. Didn't help. Just say F. Jones, and that's it. Try not to stare once they get up.
Margot knows how confusing these situations can be. Back in the early 2000s, she had a transgender man come to her clinic who told her that she could do better with trans patients. He wanted Margot to prescribe him hormones, which is something that she does routinely today. But at the time, she didn't know anything about it.
He said, well, you really need to go to this conference and you really need to look at this and stuff online. And I did, and it was incredibly helpful.
Now she wants everyone that she works with to be sensitive to this particular patient population. Many East Coast cities have health centers that specialize in LGBT care. But as of recently, these centers have more patients than they can take care of, says Jamison Green. He's the president of the World Professional Association of Transgender Health.
There's been a growing trend of transgender people being able to connect with other transgender people, realize they're not alone, and feel empowered to ask for services that everyone else receives.
He says that this uptick in demand is happening all over the country. And in Philadelphia, Katie Margot is seeing a lot of those patients.
They seek out a number of things. First and foremost is equal and compassionate care, sensitive to their particular situation. That's an important starting place.
But that equal and compassionate care can be hard to get for someone who's transgender. A national survey conducted by advocacy groups found that out of 6,000 transgender and gender nonconforming individuals, about half reported avoiding medical attention when they're sick out of fear of discrimination. Junior Brainerd and Tina Montgomery say they've experienced discrimination firsthand, which is part of the reason why they're here today. Here's Brainerd.
We had a very negative experience. This was about 5 years ago at the Penn Fertility Clinic that basically ended in they refused to work with us and told us that we would never conceive a biological child.
Their plan was for Brainerd to carry and give birth to the baby as a transgender man. And as evidenced by baby Tony sitting on his lap and drinking a bottle, Brainerd and Montgomery could, in fact, conceive a biological child. Sometimes for transgender patients, their experience at the doctor's office can be ruined before they even see the doctor. Here's Jamison Green again.
Well, often one of the barriers that trans people experience is the first person that they encounter at the clinic. If that person says, we don't treat people like you here, they leave.
He says that bad experiences in medical settings are especially problematic for transgender patients because of what's at stake. The trans community has high rates of substance abuse, HIV, and mental health issues, including depression, anxiety, and suicide.
Part of the reason that those disparities have occurred is the stigma and the bias that prevents people from getting the care that they need.
Making the doctor's office feel safe and welcoming could mean the difference between catching those things early on or being too late. For The Pulse, I'm Paige Flager.
Did you like this story? Subscribe to our podcast. It's on iTunes.